בסייעתא דשמיא נלמד שבת תקוף חוף חס. בסייעתא דשמיא, we're going to learn שבת תקוף חוף חס. We're going to start at the very top of the עמוד. We saw in the Mishnah that there's a list of different food items or different items that one is allowed to clear away to make space. And obviously, one's only allowed to move and clear away those things that are not muktzah. And we have a list of things that were not muktzah, and we discussed them on Daf Kuf Chof Zayin Amud Beis. Now the Gemara is reverting back to the part of the Mishnah that's discussing those items, even though it seems like they are food items, either for a person or for an animal, but they are muktzah. Avoloi es ha-tevel. The Mishnah says that tevel, which is produce that chumas and maisers have not been taken, and it's strictly and severely osa to eat them, you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos, they are muktzah, says the Gemara Pshita. What's the Chiddush? Of course they're muktzah, says the Gemara Loi, it's not so simple. Tzricha, the Mishnah has to tell it to us, betevel tovel midrabonon. We're talking about a type of case where the tevel is only midrabonon, which means that the whole requirement to take trumas and maestras was not a biblical one. Shezaroi ba'otzitz she'enu nokuv, we're talking about vegetation that was planted in a pot that did not have any holes in it, and therefore did not get any of its nourishment from the earth, and therefore min ha-teira, there's no chiyuv of trumas and maestras, only midrabonon. So tevel from vegetation that was planted and grown in a otzitz she'enei nokuv is only midrabonon, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That nonetheless, since the halacha is that it's tevel and you have to take chumas and maestras, all the while that chumas and maestras has not been taken, it's muktzah. Continues the Gemara. V'loi b'maiser rishon v'chulu. The next case in the Mishnah, which is muktzah, is maiser rishon sheloi nitlot trumosai. We know that the Levi gets 10% of the produce from the Yisrael, and of that 10% he has to give 10% to the Kohen, called trumas maiser. All the while that the Levi does not give that 10% to the Kohen, no one's allowed to eat from this Maiser Rishon, says the Gemara Pshita, so of course it's Muktzah. Says the Gemara Loi, Tzricha. Shekdimoi bekri, shenotal mimenu Maiser, veloi notal mimenu truma gedoilo. We discussed in a previous share that there are different stages of preparation of the produce. The very first one is called Beshibolim, which is when it's still in their ears, which is a very early stage. A stage later is when it's Bekri, when it's already been piled up and the pile has been smoothed out. At that point, the owner becomes chayev to take the Trumas HaMaestras. If the Levi comes and takes his Maaser Rishon, really the order should be that first the owner gives the 2% to the Kohen, Truma Gedoila, and then he gives 10% to the Levi, of which the Levi gives 10% to the Kohen. If the Levi came and took the Maaser Rishon before the Kohen took the Truma Gedoila, then we learnt on Daf Kuf Chof Zayin Amud Beis that it depends. If he took it when it was in the Shibolim stage, then he has to take the Trumas Maaser and give it to the Kohen, but he does not need to take the 2% and give to the Kohen. However, if he took it in the Kri stage after it's been piled up, then he has to also give to the Kohen the 2% that he didn't get. And we had a discussion in the Gemara that Rav Papa suggested to Abaya that even when the Kohen took the Levi took the Maaser Rishon from the Kri stage, maybe he should only have to give the Trumas Maaser to the Kohen and not the Truma Gedoila. And the Gemara said no. Abaya brought a pasuk that says that only when he takes it in the Shibolim stage he doesn't have to take the Truma Gedoila, but in the Kri stage he does have to. So the Gemara says here, if you have Maaser Rishon that the Levi took in the Kri stage, then that is the case. The Mishnah says it's muktzah because he took the Trumas Maaser, he gave the 10% of the 10% to the Kohen, but he did not give the 2% to the Kohen. So it's muktzah. What's the chiddush? Mal de tema kada omale Rav Papa Labaya. I may have thought that possibly the halacha is like Rav Papa suggested, that even when he takes it in the crease stage, the Levi should be potter from giving the Truma Gedolah to the Kohen. Kumash malon kadishoni le Abaya. The Mishnah is coming to impress on us, like Abaya answered to Rav Papa, that if the Levi took the Maisa Rishon in the crease stage, not only does he have to give the Trumas Maisa to the Kohen, he also has to give the Truma Gedolah to the Kohen, and if he doesn't, it's mukta, he's not allowed to eat it. Continues the Gemara, Veloyes Maisa Sheinish Sheloi Niftu, or the Hekdesh Sheloi Niftu. If the Maisa Sheini has not been redeemed, or the Hekdesh has not been redeemed, he's not allowed to eat it. Obviously talking about he's not allowed to eat it outside the restrictions of Maisa Sheini or Hekdesh. Maisa Sheini is only allowed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Hekdesh has other restrictions. But after it's been redeemed, anyone can eat it. Says the Gemara, if it has not been redeemed, Pshita, it's poshut that it's muktzah. Says the Gemara, noi, shicha, it needs, there is a chiddush here. The niftu v'loi niftu kilchoson. We're talking about that they were redeemed, but they were not redeemed according to the halacha. So I may have thought that since they were redeemed on some level, it should be not muktzah. The Mishnah is telling us, nonetheless, it's muktzah. What's the case of loi niftu kilchoson, that it was not redeemed properly? Maisa shepode al gaba asimoin. If he redeemed the Maisa on something that looked like a coin, but it had not been minted, there was no image carved onto the coin. So derachmona omar v'tzarto hakesef biyodecho. And regarding redeeming Maisa, the pasuk says v'tzarto hakesef biyodecho. You should bind the money in your hands. And the question is, why do we need the extra word v'tzarto? We learn from there, dovr shiesh boi tzura. Tzarto doesn't only mean bind, it also means an image. The pasuk is impressing on us that you have to redeem the Maisa on a coin that's been minted. This person who redeemed it on a coin that's not been minted, it's invalid, and therefore it's mukta. Hekdesh. What's the case of Hekdesh that was redeemed, or he tried to redeem it, but it was not valid? Shechililu al gabi karka, he redeemed it on real estate, on real property. And Rahman Omar, the pasuk says, v'nosan hakesef, you have to give the money, v'komloi, and then what was Hekdesh is raises from its previous status and is now can be used as chulin, but it has to be something which can be given from hand to hand. It has to be money. It cannot be karka. And this person who redeemed Hekdesh on karka was not valid, and therefore it's the Hekdesh is mukta. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that luf, v'loyes haluf, v'loyes hachardel, that according to the Tanakhama in the Mishnah, luf and chardel are both mukta. Chardel is mustard. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel matir beluf. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that luf is not mukta mipnei shu meichel oirvin, because ravens can eat it. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, metaltelin et esha chatzov. Chatzov is a type of grass whose roots go directly down, straight down. They do not disperse to the sides. And we know that when Yeshua ben Nun was giving out, was distributing the sections of the land of Eretz Yisrael, he used this grass to define the borders between one person's, one shevet, and their inheritance, and the other one. So the Braisa says that this chatzov is not mukta. You're allowed to move it. Mipnei shu maichol litzvim. Because deers eat it. If it's animal food, we know that animal food is not mukta. Vesa chardol, you're allowed to move chardol, it's not mukta. Mipnei shu maichol leyoinim, because doves eat it. And this is not following the Tanakam of our Mishnah that says that chardol is mukta. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, af metaltelin shivrei zchuchis, even shards of glass, broken pieces of glass, are also not mukta. Mipnei shu maichol lenaomiyos, because they are the food of the bnois yano, the bas hayano, some translate it as an ostrich, and they swallow glass. It helps them digest and break up the food in their stomachs, and therefore, since it's food for these naomiyos, therefore it's not mukta. Omale Reb Nosson. So Nosson says, Elo me'ato, according to what you're saying, chavileis moirois, bundles of vine branches, yitaltulu, you should be allowed to move them, they shouldn't be mukta, mipnei shu maicho lepilim, because they are food, animal fodder for elephants. And Rabbi Nosson is not arguing, he's just adding on, saying, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that the shivri zchuchis are not mukta because the bas hayano can eat it, so too chavile zmoiris will not be mukta because the pilim can eat it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel himself, who only mentioned the glass and did not mention the zmoiris, is because naomiyos shchichi, ostriches are much more common, pilim lo shchichi, it's very uncommon for there to be elephants around, and therefore he did not mention that the Zmoiris are not mukta, and he holds they are mukta. Continues the Gemara, Omar Amemer, Vuhud Islei Naomiyos. Amemer says that this that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that the shards of glass are not mukta because these ostriches can eat them, that only if this person has ostriches. If he has ostriches, and they can eat the glass is not mukta. But if you don't have them, then the glass is mukta. Omer Vashi, L'Amemer, Vashi is commenting and responding and arguing with Amemer, and he's saying, Elo de Ka'omale Reb Nosson, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. When Reb Nosson said to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Zemoira is your telltale, Mipnei Shu Meichel Lepilim, that the branches of the vine are not mukta because you can give them to elephants, Yi Islei Pilin, if we're talking about that he has elephants, Amai Loi. The Gemara explained that Reb Nosson said to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that you should include the Zmoiris because elephants can eat them. And the Gemara explained that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel did not agree with him because they are not common. If, according to you, Amemer, you actually have to have the ostriches, and then it would mean, accordingly, that you would have to have the elephants in order for the Zmoiris not to be mukta, then why is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel arguing with what Reb Nosson said? Why is he not mentioning the Zmoiris? In the same way as if you have ostriches, the glass is not mukta. If you have elephants, then the branches of the vine are not mukta. Yi islei pilin amai loi. Elo, the Gemara deduces, Rav Ashi deduces from here, ro'i, that Reb Nosson is talking about that the branches of the Zmoiris are, the branches of the Zmoiris are not mukta because they are fit for elephants, even if you don't have elephants. And so to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who said that the glass shards are not mukta, it's not because you have ostriches, it's because they are fit for ostriches. Hochnami roi. And that's not like Amemer said, and since it's fit for ostriches, and according to Reb Nosson, fit for elephants, they're not mukta. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that the shards of glass are not mukta because ostriches are common. It doesn't mean the owner has ostriches, but they are common enough, and therefore they are fit for the ostriches which are common and they're not mukta. Elephants are very uncommon, and therefore the fact that they are potentially fit for the elephants does not remove the status of mukta from those branches. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, V'Reb Shimon, V'Reb Yishmoel, V'Reb Akiva. These four Tanoim, Kulhu, Sviru, Luhu, they all agree and hold that Kol Yisrael b'nei melochim hein. All of Klal Yisrael are considered as princes. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Hod Amron. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, as we've just seen now, what does Reb Shimon ben Gamliel say? That the shards of glass are not mukta because they are fit for ostriches. Who commonly has ostriches? Only princes. And the fact that according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, glass is not mukta, shards of glass is not mukta for anybody, it's because all of Klal Yisrael are fitting and have the status of princes, and therefore it's fit for everybody to have ostriches, and therefore for everybody the glass shards are not mukta. Reb Shimon, where do we find that Reb Shimon holds that all of Klal Yisrael are called princes? D'etnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Bnei Melochin, the princes, Sochin al Gabe Makosein, if they have a wound, they're allowed to anoint on Shabbos, on their wounds, Shemen Vorod, rose oil. Why? We know that you're not allowed to do something which is refuah for medical reasons, as we've learnt previously in the Masechta. And if you do it, it mustn't be absolutely clear and evident that you're doing it for medical reasons. It has to be something that other people do just regularly as well. So Reb Shimon says, Shekein darkon shel b'nei melochim losuch b'chol. Since princes, they typically anoint themselves with this rose oil even if they, during the week, even if they don't have a wound. That's just, that's what princes do. And therefore, anointing rose oil is not blatantly clear that it's called refuah, and therefore everybody is allowed to anoint their wounds on Shabbos with the rose oil. So the Tanna Kamma says that Bnei Melachim, only Bnei Melachim are allowed to anoint their wounds, because they anoint their wounds with this oil even during the week. Rab Shimon Omer Kol Yisrael Bnei Melachim. Rab Shimon says that the whole of Klal Yisrael are allowed to anoint their wounds on Shabbos with this oil, even though it's got therapeutic value and it helps it heal, because all of Klal Yisrael are fitting to anoint themselves with this oil during the week, because they're all considered princes. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Where do we find that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva hold that Kol Bnei Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Bnei Melachim Heim? The Tanya we learnt in a brisa, Harei Shehoyu Noishin Boy Elef Mono. If the people have a claim against this person of 1,000 mona, he owes them 1,000 mona. V'lovosh Itztila, and this person is wearing a cloak which has a value Baskuf Mono, 10% of his debt, 10% of what he owes, 100 mona. Mafshitin Oisei, we tell him to remove the cloak. Umalbishin Oisei Itztila Ru'uyeloi, we say, for your stature, you don't have to have such an expensive cloak, because we know that when taking away a person's possessions to repay a debt, you don't take away the essentials. You don't take away a person's home, you don't take away his clothes, but only those clothes that are essential. To have a cloak which is beyond your stature is not necessary. Sell it. Buy yourself a cloak that is more compatible with who you are, and with the difference in the money, you'll repay some of your debts. So the Chachomim say that we take off this cloak and we buy another one which is more appropriate to his stature. Tana Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, and it was taught in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, V'tana Mishum Rabbi Akiva, and also in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael Ru'uyin Lo'iso Itztila. Even though the cloak he's wearing is only for very prominent and prestigious people, nonetheless, all of Klal Yisrael are princes, are considered princes, they're all fitting to wear such garments, and therefore you're not allowed to take off, or we don't force him to sell this garment to repay his debt. Continues the Gemara. Chavilei kash v'chavilei v'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah, chavilei kash, bundles of stubble, v'chavilei eitzim, and bundles of twigs, v'chavilei zrodim, and bundles of tender reeds. Im hitkinon, only if you set them aside, l'maichel behema, to be animal food, metaltlin oison, at that point they are not muktza. V'im lav, if you do not set them aside before Shabbos for animal food, ein metaltlin oison, they are muktza, you're not allowed to move them. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbonon, Chavilei kash, bundles of kash of straw, the Chavilei eitzim, and bundles of wood or twigs, the Chavilei zrodim, and bundles of these tender reeds, im hitkinon, if you set them aside, lemaichel behema, metaltlin oison. V'im lav ein metaltelin oisam. Exactly what we saw in the Mishnah is the Tanakam of this brisa. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimir. Here Reb Shimon ben Gamliel comments and says, Chavilin hanitlin biyad echod mutar letaltelon. Even those bundles that you've set them aside to be animal food, you're only allowed to move one handful of it on Shabbos. But to remove two fistfuls at a time, osir is osir, because that is excessive exertion, which is also on Shabbos. Also letaltelon. Continues the brisa. Chavilei se'o. We'll soon see what that is. Bundles of se'o, ezoiv, or bundles of ezoiv, v'kroinis, koirnis, and bundles of koirnis. Hichnison le'etzim. If you cut them down in order to use them for firewood, ein mistapik men b'Shabbos, they are muktza, they've been designated to be burnt and something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, they are muktza, and you're not allowed to take from them to eat, for the animals to eat on Shabbos. Lemaichel behema, if you cut them down in order to use them for animal food, mistapik men b'Shabbos, you're allowed to use them on Shabbos. V'koitim b'yad v'oichel. A person is allowed to take from these seya or ezei v'koirnis, or whatever they are, and you're allowed to break them up with your hand and eat them, or give it to the animal to eat. Or bilvad shelo yikdim b'kli. You're not allowed to break them up using a utensil that is too much similar to what you do in the week by cutting it up. And at some point, it could become an issue with toichen, with grinding, if you make them very small pieces. So you're just allowed to break it up with your hands. Umoilel v'oichel, and you're allowed to rub the pods, very hard rubbing, and then the seeds come out v'oichel, and you can eat the seeds. Obilvad shelo yimloil bekli harbe, you're not allowed to do this moilel, rub them very hard, using a kli with a lot of this vegetation. And here there's a discussion: is the issue the kli? But with your hands, you are allowed to do it, because it says umoilel, you can rub them with your hands. Is the issue harbe? Some don't have the word harbe; they only have the bekli. Either way, you're not allowed. You have to make sure to do it very distinctly different to the way you do it during the week. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachomim say you're not even allowed to be moilel. You're not even allowed to rub these pods very hard in order to release the seeds with your whole hand, with your whole fist. Only barosh etzboisov, you're only allowed to do it with the tips of your fingers. Va'ichel, and you can eat. You're not allowed to do this melila, the rubbing these pods very hard with your whole hand, harbe, a lot, in a way, in a similar manner that you do during the week. V'chein ba'amiso, which is another type of vegetation, v'chein ba'pigom, v'chein b'shar mine tavlinim, and other spices. Says the Gemara. That was the end of the braisa. The Gemara says, my amiso. You mentioned amisa, what is it? Says the Gemara, ninyo. Something that they knew to be called ninyo. Seah, what is seah? Om Rabbi Yehuda. Tzatri. Ezoiv, what is ezoiv? Abarto. Kurnis, what is kurnis? Says the Gemara, kurniso shmo. It's something that was known and was called kurniso. Says the Gemara, vahohahu, do omaluhu, man boya kurnisa. There was somebody who said, who declared, who wants kurnisa? He was offering kurnisa, v'ishtakach chashi. And what he was distributing, what he had, was something called chashi. So when it says kurnis, what is kurnis? And it says kurnisa shmo, what is it? The truth is, it seems to be chashi. So what's going on? Elo says the Gemara, you have to read it a little bit differently. Seo tzatri, like we said before. Eizoi v'abarato, like we said before. Kurnisa, what is that? Chashi, and here it's explicit that this kurnis is this vegetation called chashi. Continues the Gemara. Itmar, bosor maliach, raw but salted meat. Mutter letaltulei b'shabbos, it's not mukta. A person can eat it, even though it's raw, it can be eaten because it's been salted. Bosor tofil, and here Rashi says the word tofil means raw and unsalted. Rav Huna Omar mutter letaltulei. So everybody agrees it's not edible. The question is, it's not edible, is it mukta? Rav Huna says you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Rav Chisda Omar osa letaltulei. Rav Chisda says it's mukta, you're not allowed to move it. Rav Huna Omar mutter letaltulei. Why does Rav Huna say that you aren't allowed to move it? He obviously holds, like Rav Shimon, that there's no issa of mukta, as we've seen. Asks the Gemara v'ha Rav Huna talmid derav hava. Rav Huna, we know, was a disciple of Rav. V'Rav k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirle, the isle mukta. And we know that Rav holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is mukta. So we take it for granted that according to Rav Huna, there's also mukta. If so, how are you allowed to move this raw and unsalted meat? Answers the Gemara, b'mukta la'achila sova lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. He only holds like Rabbi Yehuda that there are halachas, stringencies of mukta regarding eating. You're not allowed to eat mukta, and other mefarshim say not only you're not allowed to eat mukta, but you're not allowed to do anything with mukta. However, but mukta letaltel, if it's just about moving it and you're not doing anything with it, you're not eating it, sovar lo k'Rav Shimon, there Rav Huna holds like Rav Shimon that mukta didn't go as far as just not allowing you to move it. Rav Chisda Omer also letaltel. Rav Chisda said it's mukta, you're not allowed to move it. Asks the Gemara of Rav Yitzchok Bar Ami ikla lebe Rav Chisda. Rav Yitzchok Bar Ami, he was visiting. He happened to be by Rav Chisda. V'chozayn, he saw hahu bar avzo. There was this shechted, slaughtered duck that was raw and not salted. Tehavako metaltelu lei mishim shol letula. And he saw that they moved this duck out of the sun into the shade. Why? V'omer of Chizda. It was because of Chizda said in his home, he said to his Talmidim, Chisorin kis kochozinon hocha. I see this financial loss here. If this duck is going to remain in the sun, it's going to get moldy, you won't be able to eat it. And consequently, they moved it into the shade. So you see that Rav Chisda holds that you're allowed to move this raw, unsalted meat. Answers the Gemara, Shani bar avza dechozi leumtza. Duck is unique to other animals, and inasmuch as that even when it's raw and unsalted, it's still fit to be eaten, to be sucked, to be eaten on some level, and therefore, just regarding the duck, it was not mukta. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon. Dag miliach. Salted fish. Raw, but salted. Muta l'taltalei. It's edible, and therefore it's not mukta. You're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Dag tofil. However, a fish that's raw and not been salted. And also l'taltalei. It's mukta. You're not allowed to move it. And either because this braisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that holds of mukta, something that you can't do anything with it, is mukta. Or like Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon, because this fish is not even roe, it's not even fit to be given to a dog, even Reb Shimon will agree that it's mukta on some level, and this is a discussion in the Rishonim. But either way, it's mukta. Bosor, regarding meat, bein tofil, bein maliach, irrespective of whether it's salted or not salted, muta l'taltalei. So if it's salted, we know it's muta to move it, it's not mukta, because a person can eat it. If it's not been salted, here it says explicitly that it's not mukta. So either it's just following Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon holds it's not mukta, or it's following Reb Yehuda, and he holds that this unsalted and raw meat is fit for to be given to chayu, is to be given to other animals. And these are discussions in the Rishonim, and the reason I brought it out here is because there's a seeming contradiction. Dog tofil is, we say, is osa l'taltil. Basa tofil is muta l'taltil. So it would seem that we're dancing on two chasnas. It would seem that as far as the dog tofil and raw and unsalted fish is osa l'taltil like Rabbi Yehuda, and basa tofil is muta, is like Reb Shimon, and that's a contradiction. So we have to find a way of either saying the whole braisa is Reb Shimon and dog tofil is osa, because it's not even roi for a dog, or you have to say the whole thing is Reb Yehuda and basa tofil is not mukta because it's roi for the chayus. And this is a discussion in the Rishonim, and Tosfos already speaks about it. And we have in brackets the stomach of Reb Shimon, and just regarding the basa tofil, which this braisa says is muta l'taltil, in the bracket seems to say it's Reb Shimon, that's why it's muta l'taltil. Others take it out because we have an issue with dog tofil. According to Reb Shimon, dog tofil should also be muta l'taltil. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Metaltilin es ha'atzomais, one's allowed to move bones on Shabbos. Mipneishu maichol l'klovim, because it's worthy to be given to a dog. And since from before Shabbos it was already roi to be given to a dog, therefore, it's not mukta. Basar tofuach, meat that's already moldy, that's become spoilt. Mipneishu maichol l'chayo. You're allowed, it's not mukta, even though it's spoilt and a person wouldn't eat it, but a chayo could eat it. And since a chayo could eat it, therefore it's not mukta. And others say, it doesn't say that it's maichol l'klovim, because spoiled meat, a dog would not eat it, other animals would. Mayim megulim, if you had water that was exposed, and we've already learned previously in the Masechta that exposed water, a person would not drink it, because it's dangerous, there's a risk that a snake has put some poison in it. Because it's fit for a cat, and we've already seen in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph that cats and snakes are not, cats do not get poisoned by snakes, cats even eat the snakes, and therefore, since this water is fit for a cat to drink, therefore, it's not mukta. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, kol atzmon osel ashoisom lepnei hasakone, you're not even allowed to leave this water around because somebody, a person, may chas v'shalom drink it and get poisoned by it. Says the next Mishnah, koifin es hasal, one is allowed to invert a basket, turn a basket upside down, lifnei efroichim, and put them in front of the chicks, kedei sheyalu v'yerdu, in order that for them to be able to go up and down into their coops. Tarnugoyles sheborcho, a hen that escaped from its home, doichin oiso atritikonis. You're allowed to push it with your hands, shove it till it goes back into the coop, till it goes back to where it's supposed to be. Medadin is not pushing, it's aiding the animal even more. It's actually somewhat, you're not lifting it up, but you're supporting it on two sides, walking it to where you want it. Medadin agolim usyochim, calves and young donkeys that have gone astray, one is allowed to medadin, one is allowed to hold them and walk them back to where they're supposed to be. Isha medado es benot, a woman is allowed to walk her little son, her child. She can stand behind the child, holding his hands, allowing him to waddle along. Omer Rav Yehuda, Amos, Rav Yehuda says, when is that true? Bizman shu noitel achas umaniach achas. That's only if when you're holding his hands, he's lifting up one foot and putting down one foot. You're helping him walk, but he's actually walking, he's carrying his own weight. Aval im hoyo goyrer, but if this mother is just dragging the child, that's considered carrying, and also you're not allowed to do that in the Roshos HaRabim, you're not allowed to carry the child. It's true that if you carry the child, it might not be an Issa D'oraisa because Chai Noises Atzmoi, but it's also, you're not allowed to do it, but because if you do carry the child, it's not such a severe Issa, that's why we let you take the risk and we let you walk the child if he can carry his own weight. However, regarding animals, where we don't say Chai Noises Atzmoi, it's more stringent, and therefore you have to be much more careful. We'll see in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda Omar Rav said as follows, Behema shenoflo l'amas hamayim. If an animal fell into a stream of water, mevi korim v'kistois, you're allowed to bring pillows and cushions, umaniach tachteo, to put underneath the animal. And there's an element of chiddush here, as we're going to see, that there's a halacha, you're not allowed to deprive a kli from its usages. A regular kli is able to be used, it's prepared to be used normally. As soon as you put these pillows under the animal in the stream, number one, you're not going to be able to use these pillows for the rest of Shabbos because they're soaked in water. Number two, there's a good chance that this animal is going to sit on them, and it's a bosses for this animal, and you're not going to be able to move them. And therefore, there's an element of chiddush here that you're allowed to do it because you want to save the animal. Vim also, if the animal goes up onto the pillows and comes out of the stream, is good. If not, not. Says the Gemara Meisei, we're going to ask a question on what we just saw in the name of Rav from a Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Behema shenoflo la'amas hamayim. If an animal fell into a stream of water, oiselo Parnosa, you can supply it with the provisions it needs in order to stay alive, b'mekoima, where it is. B'shil shalei tomus, in order that it shouldn't die. So the Gemara is deducing from there, Parnosa in, you're allowed to supply it with what it needs not to die. Korim v'kisois, but in order to bring it pillows to actually help it and encourage it come out of the water, loy, that you're not allowed to do. And this seems to contradict what Rav says, that you're allowed to bring korim v'kisois and put it into the water in the hope that the animal will go up on them and come out. Says the Gemara Lo Kasha. It's not a question. Hod efshe b'parnosa, hod efshe b'parnosa. It depends whether just supplying its provisions is enough. Efshe b'parnosa, if the water is shallow enough, that as long as you supply it with its provisions and you do, it will survive in, then you're only allowed to give it its provisions, and you're not allowed to move the pillows and the cushions to help it come out. Ve'iloi, but if the waters are too deep for that, and if you don't give it an option of being able to come out of the water, it's going to die. Mevi korim mekisei sumaniach tachter, you're allowed to bring the pillows, the cushions, and put it under the animal. Asks the Gemara Barakam Avatil Kli Beichonoi, you're nullifying the preparedness and the ability of this Kli to be able to be used for whatever it was supposed to be able to be used for. And Rashi says this is similar to smashing a Kli, so to speak, to Soisa, to demolishing. Says the Gemara, Sovar Mevatil Kli Beichonoi Derabonon. The the prohibition of nullifying the preparedness of a kli to be used is Nesed Rabbonon. Tzar Bali Chaim, Doiraisa, but there's a biblical requirement to try and relieve the pain from the animals. Vasi Doiraisa, Vidochi Rabbonon, the Chiyuv Doiraisa, to alleviate the pain of an animal overrides the Issed Rabbonon of Mevatel Kli Mehichonoi. Continues the Gemara. Tarnugoyles Sheborcho. We saw in the Mishnah that if a hen escaped, doichin oisa, you're allowed to push it. Now, before we see the Gemara, just a very short introduction. There are three ways that you can actually push or get something, to get an animal, to get something live, to go from A to B. The most primitive of them is just to push them. Just give it a shove in the hope it's going to go in the right direction. The second one is medadin, where you actually support it, you hold it under its wings a little bit or on its sides, and you walk it towards where you want to go. And that's much more of a substantial and significant type of aid that we're giving the animal. And then the last stage is called oikrin or geirer, which means if you actually lift up the animal and take it to where it's supposed to go. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. So in the Mishnah we saw that regarding tarnagoyles, regarding the hen, you're only allowed to push it. You'll notice that regarding the calves, the agolim and the siochim, the young donkeys, it doesn't say that you're allowed to push. It says medadin, you're even allowed to walk them. That's a very distinct difference. And we have to see that in the Gemara. One thing that has to be made clear, and that is that lifting up, besides for the issues of mukta we have to deal with, if it's in a rishus harabim, then the person is actually carrying. If you're just pushing or walking the animal along, you're not actually carrying the animal. So there's issues of mukta we have to deal with. But in a rishus harabim, you're not carrying it. Or in a karmelis, where it's osam midrabonon, you're not allowed to carry there more than four amos. However, if you lift up the animal, that is a problem with carrying. And there's one more fine point which is worth mentioning. In Hilchos Mukta, we are not familiar with the difference to the level or the amount of aid or the amount that you're moving it. Something that's Mukta, you're not allowed to move it even a tiny bit. Here we're going to see within Hilchos Mukta, sometimes you're allowed to do a little bit of moving, call or pushing. Sometimes you're allowed to do a more substantial aid and you're actually allowed to walk it. And that's a concept that is strange to Mukta. And it's only found here. And the Ran actually asks it as a question. And the Ran says that because over here there's the element of Tzar Bali Chaim, of alleviating this animal from going astray and getting hurt, therefore there's different levels of leniency. We do as little as possible, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But only in the presence of the added issue of Tzar Bali Chaim that we see these differences between one type of moving a mukta and another type of moving a mukta. Let's see the Gemara inside. Doichin in medadin loy. Regarding the tarnagoyles, the hen, it's clear in the Mishnah you're allowed to push it, you're not allowed to walk it. Tanina lahodotonu rabbonon. And we see a brisa to the similar effect. Medadin behema chayo v'oif. You're allowed to walk animals, chayos, v'oif, and birds, b'chotzer in a chotzer, avaloyes atarnagoyles, but not a hen. So you see that even other birds, you're allowed to walk them. When it comes to chickens, you're not allowed to walk them. Tarnagoyles may tamaloy. Why are you not allowed to walk a tarnagoyles? Says Omar Abaya, mishum de mekafio nafsha. Unlike other birds, and even more so unlike animals, where a chicken, it typically will lift itself off the ground when you try and walk it, when you hold it under its wings to try and walk it, it will raise itself up, and then the person is going to be carrying the chicken. And there's no permission to carry the chicken. You're only allowed to push it in the direction you want it to go. And even though he's in the chotzer, but like we said, this is not an issue of carrying in Rishus HaRabim. It's an issue of how much we allow you to transgress the rules of Mukta. Continues the Gemara. Toni Chodem, one brisa we learned, Medadin Behema Chaya Va'oif, one's allowed to help a Behema Chaya or a regular bird to walk it. B'chotze in the chotzer, v'loi b'Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to do that in Rishus HaRabim. V'hi Isha, However, a woman, a mother, medado es beno, she's allowed to walk her son birushos harabim, even in roshos harabim, ve'in tzarech lomar b'chotzer, and it goes without saying that she can walk her son in a chotzer which has the status of roshos hayochid. But Tanya Yedoch, in another braisa we learnt, ein oikrin behema v'chaya v'oif b'chotzer, you're not allowed to lift up any animal, even in a chotzer, their mukta, aval doichin bohen sheikonsu, you're allowed to push them that they should be able to go back to where they're supposed to be. So the first braisa, we understand a typical animal, in the event that you end up carrying it, if you're in the Roshos Harabim, it's severely asa, and therefore you're not allowed to even walk it in the Roshos Harabim. However, a mother that's walking her child, since chai noises atzmai, since carrying a child is not such a severe issa, because a child, a live human being, carries its own weight somehow, therefore we're taking less of a risk and she can walk her child even in Roshos Harabim, but as we saw, it has to be that the child can carry its own weight. The second braisa we have to understand, says the Gemara, ha gufa kasha. It seems to contradict itself within the braisa. Omras ein oikrin, you start saying that you're not allowed to lift up a behema chaya v'oif even in a chotza, and it would seem from there, aval deduye medadinon, you're not allowed to lift it up, but you're allowed to walk it. Hoda omras, and afterwards, at the end of the braisa, you say, doichin, you're allowed to push them. Doichin in medadin loy, you're only allowed to push them, you're not allowed to walk them. It seems to contradict each other. Omar Abaya says, save for us on the Tarnagoilus. The beginning of the braisa is talking about all behemis chayis v'oifois, you're not allowed to lift them, you're allowed to walk them. When it says at the end, aval doichin behen sheikonsu, is talking about chickens, you're only allowed to push, you're not allowed to walk them, as we said before, because they typically lift themselves up, and then, for all intents and purposes, it's considered carrying them, and that's a more severe type of mukta, as we discussed. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaya. Hai man de shochit tarnagoilis. If somebody wants to shecht a chicken, and there's a discussion in the Mefarshim whether this is unique to a male, to a rooster, or to a female, to a hen, lich b'shinhu l'kar'i ba'aro. If you don't want to have an issue with the shechita becoming posel, as we'll see in a minute, you have to push it right down, press its legs into the ground, so it should be totally folded over, so it should not be able to use the muscles in its foot to jump away. Inami o nidel luhu meidel, you should lift it entirely off the ground, so it will not be able to push off the ground. Why? Tadilma monach luhu letufra ba'ara, if you just have it on the surface of the ground, then it might dig its claws into the earth and push himself away, and that will cause v'okar le lesimonim, it will dislodge either the food pipe or the windpipe, and akiro, dislodging of one of the pipes, renders the animal as treif, the shechita is treif, and will be posel. Continues the Mishnah. Ein miyaldin es abahema biyomtiv, you're not allowed to help an animal deliver its baby on Yontiv. And this, Rashi says, this is because it's a big tircha. It's a very, you're exerting a lot of energy to be able to do that, and you're not allowed to exert so much effort on Shabbos. Aval Masadin, you're allowed to assist the animal in childbirth. You're not allowed to deliver the baby. You're allowed to assist it. Continues the Mishnah. Miyaldin es ha'isha, one's allowed to deliver, help a human woman to deliver her baby b'Shabbos. V'karin lo chachoma, you're allowed to even call a midwife, mimokim lemokim, to come from very far away. U'mechalanin oleos ha'Shabbos, and otherwise one is allowed to desecrate the Shabbos to meet her needs. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. V'koshin es ha'tibur, one's allowed to tie the cord, the umbilical cord, on the child. If you don't tie it, the child could be dangerous. Rabbi Yossi says, af choitchin, you're also allowed to sever the umbilical cord, you're allowed to cut it. V'kol tzorki mila, all the requirements to do a bris mila on Shabbos, oisin b'Shabbos, you're allowed to do them on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, keitzad mesa'adin, we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah, one's allowed to assist an animal in childbirth. What does that mean? Rav Yehuda Omer, Oichiz es havlad shelo yipoil la'oretz. When the child is being born, you're allowed to hold the child, you're allowed to support the child, that it shouldn't fall onto the floor and get hurt. Rav Nachman Omer, Rav Nachman says, Doichik bebosor, one's allowed to press the flesh of the mother, kedei sheyetze havlad, in order that the fetus, the unborn animal, should be able to be born. Tanya Kavaseda Rav Yehuda, we found a braisa like Rav Yehuda. Ketzad masadin, how does one assist an animal to give birth? Oyuchzin es avlad shelo yipay la'oretz, one's allowed to support the child, the newborn animal, that it should not fall to the ground, which is what Rav Yehuda said. And the braisa continues, v'noifach lo'y b'choytmoy, when this baby is born, one's allowed to blow into its nostrils to allow it to breathe, to release whatever stuck in its nostrils. V'noisin lo'y dad, L'teich piv, one's allowed to put the mother's teat into its mouth, kedei sheyinek, in order it should suck and be able to feed from the mother. Omer Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, Merachmin hoyinu al behema tohira b'yomtev. Regarding a tohir animal, we would do activities that would make the mother, that would make the child, the baby animal born, endeared to its mother. It will make the mother have mercy on the child. Heicha Ovid, what would they do? Says Omar Abaya, maybe bul shel melech, they would bring a fist-sized lump of salt, umaniach lo b'toich harechem, they would put it into the womb of the mother animal, and this is going to cause her pain, kedei shetizkor tzaro, so she should remember the pain of childbirth, utarachim alov, and then she'll remember to have pity and take care of her newborn baby animal. What else would they do? Umezalfin me shilu al gabe vlad. They would sprinkle the water of the afterbirth onto the newborn child. Kadesha toriach reichoi, so the mother should smell this afterbirth. Utarachim elov, and it will cause her to be close to this new baby, and she will have pity on it and look after it. V'davka tahira, and as we saw in the braisa, Shimon ben Gamliel said they would only do this with a tahir animal. Aval tmei olay. So with a tome animal, they wouldn't do this. My tama, why not? Tomeo, a tome animal, loy merachko vlodo. Typically, the mother would not reject the newborn animal, child. Vi merachko, and if for whatever reason, good or bad, the mother does reject the child, vi merachko vlodo, loy mekarva. Afterwards, anything you do to try and bring them back together again, to re-accept the child, will fail. And therefore, there's no point in doing these things, in exerting this effort on Shabbos to try and cause an endearment between the mother and the child. It will not work. Continues the Gemara. Meyaldin eso isha v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah, one's allowed to help a mother deliver a baby, talking about a human mother. Says the Gemara, mechti. Now let's try and look into this. Tonule, we learnt, meyaldin eso isha. You're allowed to help this mother deliver. You're allowed to call a midwife from one place to the next, even from far away. When you've already said you're allowed to help her give birth, you've already said you're allowed to call a chachomo, even though it's infringing on Hilchas Shabbos, what are you trying to include when you say, you're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos for her? Answers the Gemara, Lasuye hodotonu rabbonon. To include those melochis which we're going to see in this braisa. Im hoisot tzricho l'neir, if this woman who's giving birth or given birth needs a lamp, chavreiseo medlekes lo es haner, her friends, the people near her, are allowed to light a lamp for her on Shabbos. V'im hoisot tzricho l'shemen, and if she needs oil, chaverto mevio lo shemen biyad, her friends are allowed to bring, even if it has to go through a Rishus HaRabim, which you're not allowed to take, carry from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, you're not allowed to carry within a Rishus HaRabim. But her friends can bring the oil, but they don't bring it in a jug, in a container. They hold some oil in the palms of their hands, and that way at least, since it's an unusual way of carrying, it will not be such a severe Issa. But they're allowed, normally that would also be Asar. You're allowed to do it for this woman who's given birth. If the amount of oil that you can put in the palm of your hand is not sufficient for her, she can soak her hair with oil. And then that way she'll bring a hef, her head, soaked in oil, to where this mother is, and then she'll squeeze out the hair and she'll have an ample amount of oil. If that's also not sufficient, they're allowed to fill up a container as much as she needs and bring it on Shabbos, even through Roshus HaRabim and in Roshus HaRabim, because it's Pikuach Nefesh, and that's what it says in the Mishnah, Mechalel Noleo, it's a Shabbos. We desecrate Shabbos to protect the life and health of this mother. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar. We just saw in the Braisa, Im Hoysa Tzricha L'Neir, if this woman who's giving birth needs a lamp, Chavriseo Madlekes Lo Esaneir, they're allowed to light a lamp for her. Says the Gemara, Pshita, if that's what she needs, of course you're allowed to do it, it's Pikuach Nefesh. Says the Gemara, Loi. Tzricha, it's not so straightforward, there's an element of chiddush here. We're talking about Basuma, we're talking about that this mother who's giving birth is blind. Maudatema, I may have thought, Kivan Deloi Chazia, also, or since she cannot herself benefit from this light, you're not allowed to bring light for her. Komashmalon, the chiddush is, Isuve Meisva Daita, since it will relax her, it will calm her down, and somebody who's in that vulnerable stage of childbirth has to feel calm. And she wants to feel calm. Sovra, she's going to think to herself, Iikamidi, if anything is going to be needed to be done during the process of the birth, Chazio Chaverta, then my friends will have the light and will be able to see what they're doing, Va'ovdali, and they will do it for me. And she'll feel calmer if the people around her have light that they need to protect her. Continues the Gemara, Vimhoisot Tzricha L'Shem, and we saw in the Braisa that if this woman needs oil, one's allowed to go to measures, even carrying in Roshus HaRabim, and carrying from Roshus HaRabim into Roshus HaYochid, to bring her the oil. Says the Gemara, we saw in the Braisa that we're trying to minimize the amount of Chilul Shabbos. So we say, first try and bring it in the palm of your hand. If that's not sufficient, bring it soaked in your hair. And as long as you don't carry a jug in the Roshus HaRabim, last resort, there's no other way of doing it, you're allowed to even carry the container. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. What are you gaining by soaking her hair with it? You're gaining that you're not doing carrying in Roshus HaRabim and carrying from one domain to the next in a normal manner. And because carrying in a normal manner a jug is Chilul Shabbos, but squeezing out hair is also Chilul Shabbos. What have you gained? In the same token as you're squeezing out the hair, you can carry the jug in the Roshus HaRabim. Typically, Mishum Schita. You're doing an Issa of squeezing on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef de Omra Tarvayu, they both say, Ein Schita Beser. Hair does not absorb. The oil just sits and rests in between the strands of hair. But since the hairs themselves do not absorb, squeezing out the water trapped between the hairs is not called Schita. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi gives another explanation. Even if you're going to assume that there is schita, does apply to hair. What we actually meant is not that you should soak the hair with water. We said you should bring the oil in her hair. How are you doing that? Take the container and put it in her hair. Tie it to her hair, or it should be put into the hair, and that way you're carrying the container in an unusual fashion. The more that we can change and do it differently, that we can deviate from the regular fashion and manner of doing the malacha, the better. And that's why you should carry it in her hair. If that's not sufficient, either it's too much or it's not possible, then as a last resort, you can bring it normally. And in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.